Okay. So we'll call the meeting to order. The is this May 4th? Yeah, CSD Board of Directors meeting. Join me for the flag salute, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, could we have a roll call, please, Laura?
Director Forcroy?
I'm here.
Director Gatchell? Director Womack? Vice President Ohilski?
Yeah, I've been here for a while.
And President Sesenia?
I'm finally here. Thank you. Okay, general action items. Agenda item 2A, approving funding source. We're going to put that on hold.
Yeah, I want to just make an announcement about that, about it, just for clarification to the public, and that we will be have to take public comment on it as well. Staff is recommending that we continue this item to a future meeting. We need to be looking for an alternative funding source beyond the franchise fee revenue that was in the report. And that's based on a recent California Supreme Court ruling regarding the limitations of use of franchise fees. With that, I can answer any questions from the board and, of course, the public and public comment.
Did you have Mr. Ty?
No. Please go ahead. I'm curious
use your microphone.
Could Mr. Green explain a little bit more what the limitations are? Because I don't understand.
It's a case called, it's a good thing you're here. It's called Zoli versus Oakland, or Oakland versus Zoli, or Zoli versus Oakland, I can't remember which. But it's a case where the franchise fees are considered a tax. And so you have, how you use them has to, how you assess them and how you use them has to be in a certain formula or they don't work. And so we can't really, I'm not sure we can do what we were trying to do, but this came up pretty late and I said, let's hold off and make sure we're doing it right. But it's an interesting case. I think it's affected every district that has franchises.
No, I've talked to a couple other people and they're sort of like what you just said up in the air.
It's very difficult to figure out exactly what to do because the Supreme Court left a couple of questions open. You know, does it fall under this exempt? There's some exemptions to whether it's a Prop 226, I think it is.
Yeah, it's
26 tax. And they left a couple of one they said it doesn't fall under that. The other one they said, we're not going to address that. You go figure it out at the court level. So they basically just decided there's going to be more litigation over it. And everybody's trying to figure out how to wind their way through it to see how it comes out and not getting too much trouble in the meantime.
Right. And the other alternatives available or alternative available to us is we could use something like Zone 8 money, because that's a property tax that the board has discretion on how we allocate. I'm not recommending that tonight, but that may be something we could talk about in the future.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I look forward to learning more about franchise fees. I've never understood them and
in this case,
what that's all about.
This case was settled at the Supreme Court just like August, September last year. So it's relatively new, and that's why there's so much uncertainty.
And there's a lot of, I heard there's some litigation already starting as a result of the case. Yeah, and you don't worry about being confused because you won't be any less confused once you read the case. I wasn't.
Chuck, we do need to take public comment.
Though. Yes, okay. We'll go to a public comment for agenda item 2A.
If you'd like to make public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. Come on up first.
Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything until I heard the word tax. Franchise fee is a kickback. It's the old Chicago kickback to the garbage collectors. You don't have to take the franchise fee if you don't want to. You're not required to take it. There were a couple of years here where we took zero, and another year I think we took 50% of it. But it's how it comes under, I'd really like to hear the argument of how that comes under as a tax, because it's based on the total collected or charged as a percentage of that. And it's basically a kickback to the district. I've never understood why they call it that. Anyway, I think it's going to be an education, Chuck, because it literally is nothing more than a kickback. It's paid by the ratepayers. It comes from the total amount collected. We get back 10%, 5%, whatever a district decides to take as a franchise fee. How that it comes under the category of tax. Anyway, this is going to be an interesting conversation.
Okay. Yeah, you used the word that comes to mind, kickback. It'll be an interesting, it'd be a good learning and educational.
I'd like to respond to that a little bit because, you know, the way the franchise fees are supposed to go back, like it's typical for like electric, gas, all the utilities pay franchise fees to like the city and the county. And they've used to tie it to use of roads. And I think that's been limited by this decision. And other things that a franchise, like a garbage company, wear and tear on roads would go. For us, it's more, we have now state requirements to meet because we're have that solid waste authority. So it funds part of my salary, funds part of Laura's salary. We're gonna have to do some public education. There's other things that we're gonna need to do. Now, is it 10%? You know, Richard's actually absolutely right there. It doesn't need to be that much. And so we do need some revenue to offset our costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I look forward to the education. Okay, and with that, we'll go on to general action item 2B, fiscal year 2023-24 preliminary budget review. I'm so glad that we're on top of things and that we get a budget examined ahead of time and we're ready to pass it when fiscal year starts.
Yes, thank you. It's definitely been a team effort. You know, Margaret, Laura, just the rest of it, you know, as we get it down into the line item, like in the water fund, we actually have, you know, staff all the way through the water crew help us out with it. So this is a team effort. There are a few gaps I'll explain when we get to certain budgets, primarily Fund 301. But we'll start off, as you know, the formats that we've established that we go through what our major requests are for each fund, what that impact is, and then I provide a summary table, which kind of shows you in you know, graphic terms of where the increases or decreases are as we work through each fund. Tonight, we also have to make our Zone A property tax allocation decision. Just for the general public, this is a tax that is derived from property taxes collected community-wide. So we try to fold that back into community-wide benefit, and that it is discretionary to the board to allocate these funds. So with that, this last fiscal year, this was the Zone A property tax allocation. It was about $282,000. We started off allocating, if you recall, more to fire and only $50,000 to water, which is something we decided in our last rate analysis. But we decided to move some money from 301 to water to help with the water resiliency intertie project and to fund the CEQA project that we're working on right now. And then we've always or historically have put some into Parks and Rec in Fund 900. So I have three options to present. Now, these are just for discussion, especially the third one's a little radical, but I'm just trying to show that you do have discretion on what these percentages actually turn out to be. So if we're going to follow, to start off with, we have, it's estimated by the county that we're going to have just a little over $300,000 this year to allocate. If we're going to follow the model that we started with last fiscal year and put 50% to water, or 50,000, I'm sorry, to water, we could do a similar breakdown of Fund 301 for fire and some money going to Parks and Rec again this year. So this was my option one. Next option, since we haven't been doing much in Parks and Rec, we could allocate more, again, 50,000 to the water fund, but we could increase the allocation going to fire and decrease the amount of allocation going to Parks and Rec. And then finally, this is a little bit more radical, but because of our issues up at the Cabrillo Basin, we could you could allocate a lot more to Fund 800 to help offset that deficit that we think we may have. I still don't have a full accounting yet for that. But again, this would be kind of more of an extreme case. So with that, I kind of put them all three here. I know it's a little small to see, but we do need to try to make a decision tonight so I can plug these numbers into the revenue of each fund that we decide to move the Zone A money to. And with that, any questions or comments?
So when we decided to wean water off of Zone A money, I'm not remembering how long ago that was, what the schedule we set for that.
Well, that's an interesting comment, because I think it was in our, not last rate study, the rate study before, we had talked about it. So was that 2017, 18? Anyway, it was back in that time period. So it's been a while. We talked about weaning water off it. But in the last rate study, it was decided that we'd keep 50,000 in for the 3 years that the rate study covered. So this was year two. Okay. And so that's where that 50,000, that was a decision by the board when we went through the last rate study. And again, the idea was that it is an enterprise fund, and that this Zone A money is collected district wide, and that it should be used for district wide benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's exactly where I'm going. At what point do we totally wean water off of Zone A money is kind of what I'm. So we had decided for this 3 year rate increase period to stick with that. Okay. Correct. Okay. And we do have the Intertie environmental studies to be funding.
And there's going to be more work after that.
Okay.
Can you walk us through the capital, the reserves that we used out of the drainage fund for Cabrillo Basin, and then the other funds that we used?
I'll have to kind of do that from the top of my head. We took 300 or allocated or designated $300,000 from the water fund. And that basically, if you look at the end of the, I think I have that up here. It's out here a little ways. If you look up here, we took the $300,000 from the Water Quality Trust, the General Contingency Reserve, no, the Basin Management Reserve, and the Water Conservation Reserve. And I think there's a little bit of water or money out of the General Contingency to make up to $300,000.
And we did an interfund loan, right?
Right. We authorized an interfund loan. We don't know actually how much we're going to need. I don't have a final total yet. We should get our invoices in hopefully within the next week or two for us to better understand that.
So we don't know if we've actually used that.
Correct.
Yeah, that reserve money right. Yet. But we've used all the reserve money out of Fund 800.
Don't know yet. Now, if you recall, we had about a little over $600,000 in reserve and cash.
Yeah.
And we are going to hold back about, around 170,000 for operations, and then to have some cushion. It might have been a little bit more than that. So we were going to whittle down through all the cash and reserves that drainage has. And I think I do have the drainage. It doesn't have the cash, but the drainage reserve has $234,534. But then there's quite a bit of cash sitting in our general checking account as well. So okay. There's still those unknowns. We're not sure what the total project cost is yet. For the basin repair, and we're just starting to get the bigger invoices coming through, so we're not sure how far we've whittled down the cash and reserves for Fund 800.
But at this point, there shouldn't be any surprises in the invoices you're getting, I mean, because they're pretty much through the project.
Yes, but the big one hasn't come in on the actual construction. Right. You know, we've got a lot of the consulting invoices through, but we're looking at around a $430,000 to $40,000 invoice. That's the one that
we don't but I'm just saying there shouldn't be any surprises at
no more point. Contracts right. being let. It's really just getting that final tally.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, I guess I kind of want to understand that more before we make that choice a little bit. I mean, I think we're trying to use our Zone A money for community-wide projects, which is why we're pulling it out of water, putting it in fire, essentially.
Right. And that's why you did Parks and Rec.
Yeah. And so putting it in drainage is basically replenishing Cabrillo. I don't know if that's the whole community in my mind.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Our revenue sources for drainage come from community-wide property tax, and we take in, I think, about $135,000 or something like that. And really that we have specific areas that we actually do drainage work in, 8th and El Moro, 16th and Paso, Don and Mitchell, and then the basins. But I understand where you're coming from. You know, a safe way to go tonight would be give me an option that you're comfortable with, $50,000 for water and then some percentage. And we could leave the drainage question out there. I just put that in there as an option because we could not take that interfund loan possibly and use Zone A money to supplement. So that's the reason I threw that in there. And by next meeting, I should have totals on what the project costs and what that means, the impacts to Fund 800.
Yeah, go ahead.
But the way these interfund loans are being paid back is what?
It's, I believe we had a 10-year term and interest rate tied to LAIF.
But okay, is water paying, or pardon me, is drainage paying it back?
Drainage is paying it back by that revenue sources I just explained.
So if there's an emergency that comes up in the interim, then we'd have to, I'm just saying, in fire, they'd have to take an interfund loan to cover that.
For fire. Possibly. Even though they've got healthy reserves and can.
No, I understand it. I'm just feeling like we need to get that off the books as soon as we can.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that.
The interfund loan issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, when I first looked at option three, I thought, well, that's kind of radical because I kind of like the idea of Zone A and Parks and Rec, that sort of thing. And yet, if a single year could avoid this interfund loan, keeping track for years and years and years and all the headache of that, that makes it more attractive.
And again, it doesn't have to be all and nothing.
Right.
That's
right.
True. That's yeah, why I don't get hung up on any of these percentages. It could be whatever you decide. I will do the math.
Yeah, the idea of leaving Parks and Rec with nothing, I don't like that. That's a need in the community.
I like your train of thought. We don't know what Fund 800 needs to avoid an interfund loan.
Right. So, and there's an outlying chance that we might be able to cover the expenses without going into the loan. I'm not sure.
Does any of this depend on, FEMA and reimbursement?
Well, FEMA, if we get any reimbursement, would erase that loan. I'm confident on that.
Okay.
That's the other outlier. We don't know when or how much on FEMA.
But we could, and I'm on the same page with you. I'm thinking water, Parks and Rec, and drainage, I think. But we could see if there's any deficit and then adjust this allocation at a later date.
We can. And that's what we did. Right. Last year when we did the water, we transferred more to water. We can change this at any point. It's really just to allow me to plug in a number for revenue because at the board's request, I can bring an item back and we can adjust. Right.
Yeah, I personally would like to see water, parks and rec and drainage. But not with a lot in parks and rec yet.
Yeah, right.
This so setting up the drainage.
And nothing in fire, just for clarification.
We have some, I mean, we just had our draft report on the condition of the station, and there's millions of dollars basically of projects we need to do there also. Mm-hmm.
We're also getting maybe some kind of refund from CAL FIRE.
It looks highly likely, but we don't know how much.
Yet. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot in the air right now. Maybe we should go to public comment for this issue right now.
If you'd like to make a public comment on Zone A with the budget, please raise your hand or come up to the podium.
Richard Margetson, first of all, wasn't the loan for 5 years? Wasn't it 300,000 for five with?
I'm not positive, okay. Richard, but I thought it was 10. So okay. We could afford it.
Because I thought the payments were like 60,000 and that plugged into the budget. Anyway.
No, you might have a good point there. I could.
Okay. And, you know, the chances of FEMA coming through are probably pretty strong. You know, the loan at the interest rates, even if you had to take it, you're probably not going to take it for the 5 years. If FEMA comes through and you can pay back or whatever, I'm sorry, I wouldn't go that way personally. Matthew brought up a point about fire needing these repairs, and we are probably getting a refund from CAL FIRE. You put that together, you can probably handle that, and FEMA and what's in reserves now may just handle the basin. So it'd be, you know, huge advantage to one, and the other one's probably going to get covered. I mean, FEMA paid out and up in the subdivision to people who asked for it. You know, I haven't heard anybody that got up there that got absolutely just refused. And it sounded like Ron put all the work in. I guess meeting after meeting, paperwork after paperwork. But the water, no problem with that. A little bit to parks, but you know, to save that building up at the fire station as soon as possible and to jump on that, I mean, if you go this way, I think you're going to be back in a few months making the adjustment. I don't think you need to do it. I think you can just do it now. And if you had to make the adjustment the other way later, but I think it's a slam dunk that this is all going to come to fruition. Anyway.
I didn't hear a recommendation regarding which option.
Oh.
A hybrid,
probably what is that, option two.
Okay.
15 to parks and
okay
50 to 50 to water, and water's going to fall off after next year, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you. Any other public comment online? No. Okay. We'll bring it back to the board. I guess seeing nothing for drainage except in option three, it makes it really stand out.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with what Richard said, that when the dust settles up at the basin, we could come back and make a recommendation to do something different.
Well, we're going to, I mean, irregardless of what we decide today, we're going to have to come back when that.
Possibly, unless FEMA comes through quickly and covers part of it.
But I mean, we're going to, in my mind, we're going to be coming back.
So yeah, oh, definitely.
I just as soon go with option three at this time. And then whatever funds we don't need in drainage, we would push back to fire. And, you know, Parks and Rec, I can see them getting the 15,000 in option two. But I would prefer that to happen. I mean, I just want to get this basin thing resolved and not have the interloan funds and all that stuff if we have an opportunity.
Because we've made them work before, though, the interfund loans. It hasn't been that big a deal. I guess I'm looking for 2A or something.
Well, again, don't get hung up on the percentages if you're wanting to throw something at drainage, a percentage. We can do it four ways. And you could go, if you're following Marshall's lead, you could take more out of fire and leave parks and rec and water at a little bit, and it wouldn't be the big 200,000 to 250,000, which is an option three, but it could be something.
But my question goes back to, if we know that number doesn't need to be 250, I'm just saying, and if we know we could put 15 at parks and rec, and I'm just picking a number here, 100,000 at fire, and you know, leave, you know, 230 in drainage. And then it just seems to me we need to know what that number is. I'm sorry, but
we're not going to know.
Well, that's why I prefer some sort of, instead of 2A, I prefer 3A.
Well, if we put money into Fund 800 and then we end up not needing it, what can we do at that point?
We'd come back and reallocate. I mean, and you could probably choose any of these and we could come back and reallocate.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see at least like 100,000 to 150,000 go to fire. And we need something like at least 15,000 in Parks and Rec just to cover staff and to keep that fund whole.
How about if we compromised and went 125 to fire and 15 to Parks and Rec? Because I would go along with that, but I'm not going to go along with 150.
Okay, that's fine with me.
So 125 to fire,
50 to water, 15 to the parks, and then the rest to
drainage.
Yes,
with the understanding that we can always move it from drainage to fire as FEMA.
And what I can do is, if we have this somewhat figured out by the June meeting, I can bring an alternative proposal to this.
Okay. Good. Consideration.
Okay.
Okay. I think you've got some direction.
I love it.
So you had the two opposite ends of the things.
It's okay. You just keep talking. Do we need a motion here then?
This is all providing direction right now.
Right.
And so you don't need a motion on
that's,
this.
That's only the first two pages. We're still going to go. Fun.
That's
we'll
true.
Pick up some
zone A. That's zone A.
The biggest decision you've got.
I just looked at, number three, set the date for, okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. In the cost allocation plan, our admin budget is going up by about $2,200. Which means there's a slight increase across the allocation based on the percentages. What I would like to recommend is, because our parks and rec activity has kind of slowed, that we decrease that from 1% to 0.5%, move that 0.5% over to fire, because we've had a lot of activity over in fire. And then you'd see the across the board. I just wanted a nod or consensus on that strategy of lowering parks and rec and increasing fire by that 0.5%.
I agree. I'm good with that.
Do you want to take, this is the last kind of one, you want public comment on that right now in case?
Sure, we'll take public comment on that.
If you'd like to make public comment on the cost allocation, please raise your hand or come up to the podium. Okay. No public comment online.
Okay. Now we'll move on, and this should go a little more quickly. We'll get into the funds. First one, Fund 100 administration. Our major requests are increased personnel costs for COLAs for the admin clerk, which is contractual from our SLOC negotiations. Admin services manager of 4% and the general manager of 3%. What that does.
Could you back up for a quick second?
Yeah.
The administrative clerk. Oops. Could you just put names with those?
Oh, that's Carol. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And then Laura. And then
I just wanted to make sure that was.
You know, we did in my my new contract have a COLA increase, but I wasn't going to take the full amount that the contract says. I think it's fine the way it is.
Okay, so it's Carol, Laura, and you.
Right.
You okay?
Yeah.
We don't need to send you out for an evaluation.
I think that's fair.
Thank you.
I don't know if that's fair. So the overall impact is an increase of about $7,600, which is roughly 4% in our personnel costs for the over the 2022-23 budget. So here you can see it in the table form. Got our revenue, which is going to be up by the $2,200, and then our expenditures. We're able to decrease service and supply budget by about $5,400. So you see the overall expenditure increase of the $2,178.50. Any questions on that one? This one is really nothing. We have no requests. The only thing that goes up is the $5.45 in their cost allocation increase. Any questions for Fund 200? No. 300, a little bit more going on here just because of escalating costs. We have increase in personnel costs related increases in workrooms comp insurance, estimated increases in shift coverage by our reserve firefighters. We do have increase in our service and supplies related to expenditures for equipment and tools. And we do need to, we have a major increase in our vehicle insurance because of the new fire truck and a new command vehicle. So we have two new vehicles. And then we do have some small incremental increases in other areas. The one thing I don't have, and this is a huge gap, is I don't have the Schedule A charges yet. So right now plugged into the line item is just from last year. I've reached back out to CAL FIRE. They are hoping to have something to me before I publish the budget or the prelim budget, but nothing yet. So that's an unknown here. Overall, the capital outlay budget will decrease, but we still have to do some, because we've done all of our major vehicle purchases, the new fire truck and new command vehicle, but we still need to outfit the command vehicle, which was actually part of the last fiscal year budget, and so we'll just roll that over. With that, we have about a $9,540 increase in personnel costs. That's just for the reserve firefighter part. I'm sure the Schedule A is going to go up. There was negotiations up in Sacramento for the CAL FIRE, you know, general firefighter unions, and so there have been increases. Our service and supply budget will go up by almost $40,000, but that's a lot to do with the insurance. And then we have some essential equipment and tool that we're going to be purchasing. So again, the summary slide presents this to you. Revenue-wise, I think that's 218 is a little bit skewed. I was looking back at it, there was a... It was the adjustment when we got the estimated revenue from the county at budget time, it turned out to be lower than the actual that we received. So it's more like about 118. We received about 100,000, close to 100,000 more from the Zone B revenue. So that's where a little bit of a discrepancy there. But you can see that overall, you know, we're decreasing out capital outlay, increasing service supplies in personnel, and the transfers will go up slightly. Any questions on Fund 301?
Not here.
Reserves are still healthy. I threw these in here just so we recognize that we are still very healthy, and this does not include cash in our account, checking account at Mechanics Bank. Vistero is like Fund 200. Again, it's $5.45 increase in their cost allocation. No major changes there. Fund 500, we have increases in salary and wages. This is because of our two-year agreement with SLOSIA. The COLA increase, which I'm recommending for the admin services manager, I'm recommending for the utility services manager. We do have increases in services imply. A lot of this is inflation related. And I'll explain the capital improvement budget here when we get to it.
Who's the utility services manager? I just want it for the record. I think that we should attach names with those things.
Yes, that is Margaret
Faulkner.
Faulkner. So using the preliminary estimated numbers, employment services will increase by a sizable amount, about $97,000. Services and supply budget will increase by about $17,000. And I'll explain the capital budget here in just a moment. So with the capital budget, you know, we had a lot of projects. The program C is what's driving this, and what we thought we'd anticipated to get done in last fiscal year hasn't. So I'm kind of rolling that over. So it's still, it's really kind of a shuffle of numbers. That's why I wouldn't hang too much on the decrease, because we're going to continue spending whatever it takes for that project. I was hoping to have the transmission main done by the end of this fiscal year. Not sure if we're going to make that or not. And so that carryover balance will go up. So I'll have a better idea by June what's going on with that project. So that number may change a bit. But we deferred the 16th Street North tank till this fiscal year, until the 23-24 fiscal year, sorry. The heavy equipment storage building we deferred, and the 10th Street transfer pump looks like we're not going to get that pump until the end of June. So that's actually going to have to roll over into this budget as well. So that's why I was having a little bit of a hard time with the capital improvement budget because of the project progress. We do have the well equipping phase that will kick off construction next fiscal year. That's going to be in the program C well construction part. We will do the north tank. That's about a $700,000 project. And we'll hopefully get to the heavy storage structure, which is about $100,000. Any questions on the CIP? It's a little confusing, but it's really the timing on how we're spending money.
As long as we're moving the projects forward as fast as we can.
It's just hard to equate that into a table.
Yeah, not exactly. Anything else from
that? I did want to, on the summary table, indicate that we do have a rate increase coming up. It's not a very large one. It's just under 3%. It's like a 2.6%. If you look at percentages, I did want to mention, though, for this fiscal year, we're lagging behind in revenue from what was projected in our rate study by about 5%. So when I was discussing this with the utility advisory committee at their meeting, I believe we're going to have to take a hard look at this in this upcoming fiscal year and make some decisions either on project deferral or possibly going back out for a rate increase, depending what direction the board wants to do. But I just want to make sure that's a heads up. Any other questions on Fund 500? Okay, and we are very healthy in reserves here, as well as plus cash in the bank. $600, really no surprises here. MBS, which does the assessments for the district, increased their fees by $1,400, and there's a slight increase in their cost allocation. And those are the only changes that we see here. Any questions here?
I mean, our revenues are down, but our per capita water use is at like historical all-time ridiculously low numbers.
Right.
Which
it's a compounding effect.
Probably aren't going to have rain through the whole summer and into the fall. So.
Right.
That probably could change a little bit.
Yeah, in general, though, if you look back from our last summer, we were sometimes ahead, sometimes even. We just weren't seeing, and we did build in, we built in a 4% inflation rate, which sure has been exceeded. And we decreased consumption from the prior year, that was a COVID year, by 10%. So we're not bad, but we're just not where we want to be. And I know this is what's driving our projects, is being able to keep our reserves up. So it's not horrible. It's just not exactly where we thought we'd be.
Yeah, we're on top of things and we'll adjust.
Okay, if there's no questions on wastewater, it's pretty simple. Solid waste, really nothing new here. You know, it's still such a relatively new budget. There's, you know, we're not really spending much except in the transfer, which is my time and Laura's time. And we'll come back to reevaluate low income assistance program. And I thought I'd throw out there, I meet with the several of the general managers around the county once a month, and we met yesterday. And out of the four other CSDs that have solid waste authority, none of them have low income programs. This is something historically we have offered, but I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
Okay, I was wondering that, if it was a state mandate or
no,
it's just district choice.
District choice.
Okay.
But okay, as you know, and as we've heard from the public, our rates have been brutal. So
they are brutal.
So the question I hear most is, are we the only community affected by that sort of a large rate increase?
Yes and no. The mean no part is Cayucos and Cambria had that similar 42%. It was like 41%. Okay. They got the rate analysis done on time, so they didn't have the retroactive.
Yeah.
So that's where we're seeing is that retroactive.
At 6 months of
right,
yeah, extra payments.
Right, but those communities saw almost the exact same rate increases. Okay. And they're part of Michigan Country, that's why.
Yeah, it's hard to explain to people the same trash company and why more, but then it comes down to the fact that the rate increases that could have been in effect here weren't
right,
where they were in other places.
July 1st.
Right.
Okay. Any questions at 650? There's really not much going on there. We're still trying to get our arms around revenue versus expenses and equate that into programs. And like I said, we could have some considerations on not taking as much franchise fee in the future. So that's future conversation. So really no changes here. Drainage, what we did here is we did include the debt service. Richard, you were right about 63,890. So it could have been a 5-year agreement for the 300,000. We do have minor increases in personnel costs, and that's again related to the SLOSIA agreement and then the interfund loan for Cabrillo repairs. So really, the budget remains about the same. As you can see here, the revenues range right around that $137,500. And that's what we based, trying to keep that plus some operating cash above that amount for a debt service payment. So really no changes here except for the debt service payment. Any questions on 800? And that's our reserves, which I showed earlier. And then 900, all I'm recommending here is that 0.5% decrease, and there are no other budget requests. That would decrease the amount going to cost allocation by about $3,500. And that's reflected in the summary table. There's no questions there. We do still have some reserves. Sorry, I keep reading about the reserve funds, about 200 grand. And so this was my recommendation. We've kind of checked the first two boxes. And so if there are any questions about the budget or any questions from the public, I'm more than happy to have to answer those. But we are looking to bring this back to you for adoption June 1st.
Anything else from the board? Okay, we'll go to public comment for this item.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand and or come up to the podium.
Richard Margeson, I want to correct something from earlier, and Ron made a good point. You can't take nothing for the franchise fee in the future because you have the loan repayment and you got administration. When they didn't take it in the past, is the fund reserve was just huge, And we all they were doing was chipping days and to get the garbage collection thing. The haul off day when Stan put his foot through that board and shoved a nail up his foot. Anyway.
Chipping days was a good event.
Chipping days was a very good event.
I missed.
Sam Boykin. Mm-hmm. Sam Boykin. The water fund. Revenues are down and they need to be looked at. Keep in mind, though, I know they need to be looked at, but it's not like we can't fill that gap if we did nothing. We have a rate stabilization reserve. I mean, that's what that was set up for if there was a dire need for it. And I'm not saying to take it. I think we need to look at it. But I think revenues are down because we got slammed with rain and outdoor irrigation was probably shut off completely in the community, which has probably given us a good indication of what indoor water usage probably is real close to actually being for the community. We'll see where that plays out at the end. And then the last thing, fire is... Is there a reason why notoriously we don't get that number from them till almost the end? I mean, that's been two decades and it always comes in right at the end where you just don't have that. And it's the biggest part of the budget. And sometimes it ends up being a surprise, but I didn't know if Ron had an answer to that. He maybe doesn't. So anyway, thank you.
I think the answer to that is it's the way it is.
Well, I'm trying to steer them back to the contract. The contract says we should be talking about it in January.
Okay.
And there has been some shuffling. Chief Province is great. He's on the budget, but he is not Schedule A person. It's people above him, and there's been a bit of a rotation for the last couple of years. And so I'm hoping once it settles down in their leadership, I can sit down and say, no, we're going to talk about this in January.
It would help everybody. That's for sure. I just know in the world of permitting, you always want to issue the last permit, make sure everybody else has got their bases covered and you can be the last one. And waiting for that last action on anything is frustrating. Okay.
So if we could just have a
so we'll set the date. Yeah, we'll set the public hearing date for June 1st, 2023, unless there's objections.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand or come up to the podium.
This will be my last one so we can get home to watch the ball game. One thing I forgot to mention, and I just have to because I do it annually. We paid for those vehicles at the fire department for cash, didn't we? Wow. I wonder how many communities are doing that. Anyway, a little facetious comment there. What I wanted to talk about in public comment is, I don't know if you saw the article in the paper on Monday about the funds from the fundraisers have been dispersed now. Just some clarification. We're trying to get it out to as many avenues as possible, venues as possible. Part of the delay was because all of the funds were not in until a week ago, last Monday. The last matching donor, we received his check and it had to be deposited and to get that final total that we could then decide on dispersing. But the other thing I wanted to mention is, when we made the decisions, when the group made the decisions, we saw that the need was greater than what we had to disperse. And that's in the article, but if you haven't seen it, people helping people put forth enough money to round the checks up to the next 1,000. And for some people that we thought there was a greater need, we added even to that. So there was $53,486.52 raised at the two fundraisers, the Kiwanis fundraiser, the barbecue, and Digging Deep. And what was dispersed in checks was $70,486.52. every penny of the fundraiser went out. Somebody got a check with the last part of it being $486.52. And I also just, I was interviewed by the Tribune for 40 minutes, and there was a couple of things that I wish they had put in there. I give credit to everybody that was involved, all the people that came up and shoveled and hauled stuff and assisted people the first couple of weeks. The people who put the fundraiser together, Paul Irving and Gary Freiberg and the bands, and Chuck procuring all of his friends and establishments for beer and wine. The people who donated to the silent auction, the people that worked the venue, and all the people that donated. This was the one time for me. It's one time in the last 8-10 years that, you know, people put aside their differences and they all came together to help. I mean, seriously. There were people that came up at the event and shook my hand, and I think Chuck had the same experience and handed me a check that I thought never would shake my hand due to past controversies and issues in the community. So it was kind of uplifting, and I think it was good for the community. It was a terrible disaster, but I think it was good for the community to come together for that. And I just want to thank everybody that was involved. The money's out. Everybody seemed to be happy. Chuck and I walked a number of the neighborhoods and actually delivered some of the checks personally, and there were some real heartfelt thank yous and moments of appreciation. So I don't know if Chuck had anything to say, but just thank you, everybody, and whoever's listening, for coming together to do this and your patience. Thank you.
That was a community effort, most definitely. There's too many people to thank for that, but it's good to have it behind us, and I hope we move forward and don't have to deal with that again.
So there's a public comment that was written in. Okay. So I'm going to just read it. John asked, I believe this question would be the one for this section. I am from Morrow Shores community, where the SLO supervisors approved the addition of 10 units despite the California Coastal Commission's ban on new development, subject to the groundwater studies. Can you provide an update on the current studies underway, and are there any preliminary findings?
Okay, the current studies underway. Well, the annual report, didn't we just have... at least a draft released?
There is a public draft. I don't know if that's the study, because it is an annual report. I know the county, and I can provide a little more information. The county is working on the Title 19 offset program, and that should be completed by the end of June, if that's what they're referring to.
Yeah. I know who that is. Okay, there's a lot of studies. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll go on to administrative and committee reports. Fire department report.
Paul, can you unmute yourself? Oh, perfect.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry for my absence for the last couple of meetings, but I've been traveling up and down the state doing different things with the family and work, so I'm glad to be here tonight. Let's start off with my report, go over the incident summary. So for the month, we did 96 calls, which has been dip in action for us, but got one structure fire. That would have been the one that was at Kuma that I reported in the last board report. I included that in the last board report just because it was recent and not so frequent in place. Basically, some housekeeping stuff over there that has been mitigated and taken care of. It's like all the businesses had minor deficiencies. We're able to get back in business with a short delay. Other fires, dumpster fires and stuff like that, we had two. Medical aids, we're looking at 68 just general medical aids, two traffic collisions, two rescues, two assist law enforcement, and two seek calls. Hazardous calls, down power lines, gas leaks, things of that nature. Three other calls, three public assist, 12. And moving over to our aid, given to other agencies. Looks like we helped Morro Bay once, San Luis County once, and Cal Fire San Luis Obispo three times. And our squad went out to Morro Bay once, Pismo once, San Luis County once, and San Luis Obispo Cal Fire twice. the Pismo call would have been a search and rescue type incident. Boat and squad are tied together. Agency aid given to us. Mora Bay came over to help us once. Pismo came over to help us three times. The county came over to help us three times. And the state came over. Nothing really all that exciting to report as far as emergency responses for the reporting period, special programs and projects. We had 5 acquired structures that we got down in the Pomo area, and we were able to rotate all the county agencies through it, all the county fire agencies, San Luis City, Paso, Tascadero, State Hospital, County Fire, Mora Bay, get everybody through 5 structures that we had down there where we were doing active fire. Really positive experience, a lot of good learning going on, just a good opportunity to get out there and exercise our skill set. Weed abatement inspections have started and new notices will be going out at the end of the month. Right now we're prioritizing vacant lots. We have inspected all the vacant lots as of right now. However, we're going to wait another week or so as people are out mowing, give them the opportunity and set notices after that. Along with those notices, anybody that's got any exemptions, we'll be requesting those proof of those exemptions. The exemptions are only good for 5 years, so if they have an exemption the last 5 years, we'll be asking to apply for another one or mitigate their means. After we get all the vacant lots going, we'll be working on the structures, included in the report down a little bit further. The 4291 defensible space inspectors will be out in the SRA area, so essentially the neighborhoods up by Highland, all the way up into Cabrillo, those beginning state inspections. We will be doing district inspections. They get lots of mobile structures will be inspected by the state defensible space inspectors. They typically don't do contact. I've instructed our crews to engage in as much contact as possible with education with the community down in the LRA area in order to answer any questions, provide guidance, and achieve compliance through education. We have 1 fire apparatus engineer paramedic, Reese Airborne. She graduated from Cal Fire Academy. She went there for 11 weeks and went in there, did a great job, graduated, and she is now out on the line. And we're starting to replenish our stock of engineer paramedics at Station 15. I've got a new boss, Chief Mike Salas. He's going to be assigned as the division chief, Coastal Division. He is overseeing Battalion 2, which is the Napomo Battalion. Pismo Beach Battalion, North Coast Battalion, which is where we're at, West of Camp, and Toro View. So a lot of different hats. He's working on getting his feet underneath him. He comes to us from Ventura Camp. I was division chief down there for a period of time. So
is that it, Paul? Okay, thank you. I think we've lost Paul, so we'll move on to the Sheriff's Department. Oh, you back?
Yes.
He muted himself.
Okay, we'll move on to the Sheriff's Department. Thank you.
I'm still here if you guys have any questions. Sorry about that.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yep.
Kind of fading in and out.
Yeah, just funky. I'm on the road right now, so.
Okay, that explains.
Should be good.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem.
I didn't have any questions.
No questions. Thank you. Be safe.
All right. Take care.
Okay, now we'll move on to the Sheriff's Department report.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Elliot Coys, Sergeant with Sheriff's Coastal Station. So for the month of April in Los Osos, we had 72 calls overall, up slightly 68 from this time last year, but roughly about the same overall. We had 5 assault or battery calls, 35 general disturbances, 2 burglary reports, 7 thefts, 3 vandalisms, 0 mail theft, and 0 phone scams, 20 suspicious circumstances, 70 proactive enforcement stops, vehicle stops, bike stops, that kind of thing, and 26 preventative patrol activities, which are, you know, proactive foot patrols, that type of thing, area checks. And that's all I've got for the numbers. Does anybody have any specific questions for me or anything?
Questions from the board? No. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Be safe. California Highway Patrol report.
Good evening, everyone. Greg Klingenberg from CHP San Luis Obispo. For the month of April, we made 2 DUI arrests and we had 5 collisions. First collision at Clark Valley Road, south of Blue Heron. We had a non-injury solo vehicle. Vehicle struck a tree, minor damage to the vehicle. And like I said, no injury there. On Bay Oaks near Oak Ridge, we had a hit and run collision. A vehicle struck a parked vehicle. Minor damage to the parked vehicle. Unknown information on the hit and run vehicle. We had an additional hit and run collision. Also unknown description of the hit and run vehicle. That did not strike a parked vehicle. That vehicle, or that collision occurred, like I said, at Los Olivos and Fairchild Way. Vehicle ran a stop sign and struck another vehicle. No injuries in that collision. At El Moro in South Bay, near South Bay, we had a 2 vehicle non-injury collision there with minor damage to one of the vehicles and moderate damage to the other. And then on our last collision at South Bay and Turi, we had a 2 vehicle collision, a right of way collision. This did result in minor injuries to one of the parties in that vehicle. And like I said, and 2 DUI arrests that we made as well. That's our April report, and I am available for any questions that you may have.
Questions from the board? No, I'm glad injuries were minor. Good.
Me too. Thank you. Me too. Thank you for hosting me each month. I appreciate it a lot. Have a great night.
Thank you. Okay. The utilities department report is in your packet. If there are questions, you can pull those out maybe when we go through the general manager's report.
Right. Thank you. If you'll notice in the utilities department report, our per capita was in the mid 40s, which is very low for us, even this time of year. excuse me. I did mention that I've been meeting with the county planning department on a monthly basis now. They reported out that they'll have the water offset conservation study in draft form for the BMC party staff review mid-May, and then it should be released publicly mid-June and finalized by the end of June.
2023?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's what they said.
Okay.
I did want to report, excuse me, that we have completed all work activity up at Cabrillo Basin. As of Friday, Monday, I met up there with the M&S and Yay and Associate engineers and Hartzell Construction to take a last walk around inspection. Everyone was happy. It's just a relief to have that all done. We did get the K-rail out of there. Where are we? Last Friday. Caused a little bit of ruffles up there, closing the road for about 20 minutes, but it went fairly smooth, actually. So we're complete. I'm still working with FEMA on submitting our reports. Our project manager from FEMA is very happy so far with our progress. I'm gonna have to get a drink of water, excuse me. I'll be submitting final invoicing, and then it moves from her up the ladder, and then we'll see if we've done everything correctly for reimbursement. So that'll be the true test. I did meet with Cal Fire staff to review the work they've done to date on our audit. It's looking good in terms of a refund. They still have some data gaps, and they apologize for it taking so long. There was an interesting twist that there was a county administrative office employee there, and they are talking about countywide overhead charges that I'm not sure where they came from. So I questioned the staff person on that and to get some explanation, because in our Schedule A charges, there's already countywide overhead in those as well. So anyway, there's still some information But even when they plugged in these countywide overhead numbers, the numbers that were showing were fairly significant still. So I'll keep you posted. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Why settle for once if you can get it twice?
Or three times.
Yeah. Any questions from the board? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ron, for everything. Chamber of Commerce report.
You don't have one, sorry.
Okay.
I can do that. I'll do it.
Sure.
Yeah, the Chamber of Commerce is going through interesting times now. We're restructuring to serve the community after COVID and with a lot of changes going on. Our new president, Tom Cross, just resigned. So we're having our vice president move up to president now. So we're moving on forward. Our big thing coming up is
awards dinner.
Thank you. The awards dinner. I don't know the date off the top of my head. Do you know? It's in June. I know that. It's like the 19th or something like that. But yeah, so that's the next event we're going to have. At the next the CSD meeting, I'll bring up the date and the information for that. But it will be held at the South Bay Community Center this year. So we're looking forward to everybody coming, mingling and mixing and seeing our citizens of the year, our volunteers of the year, business of the year, all those people who are being honored by the chamber. So that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Community Advisory Council. I gave our report last week to that group and basically just brought them up to date on all the capital improvement projects and the basin repairs and the state of things there. Interesting things that they talked about. The Cabrillo Estates septic issue is a hot topic with LOCAC right now. Those folks are looking at expensive repairs if a septic system fails. And so there's discussion about whether they're going to be joining the sewered parts of our town over the next year or so. So stay tuned for that. That's an ongoing discussion. There was further talk about an attempt to grandfather some motel rooms down on Second Street that were illegally converted from commercial uses to the motel rooms. And the new owners want to legitimize that. And so they've applied and to go through the process. And I'm not sure where that's going to wind up. Coastal Commission will have something to say about it. I'm sure it'll all be caught up in the ongoing discussions about water around here. But that was LOCAC. And Parks and Rec, we had no meeting this month.
We're anticipating third Tuesday in June.
Okay, thank you. Utilities, we met and basically just brought us up to date on capital projects. We do have capital projects still moving through the pipeline. Not everything has been basin repair related. And we're in good shape there. The Basin Management Committee got some discussion. We didn't have a meeting this month, but I think there's a lot of activities going to be coming up in the near future. The helicopter was around. A lot of people probably saw that.
Heard it,
yeah. Yeah, with all the cloud cover, I guess. Good thing is they probably aren't affected by that when they do their underground studies. The annual report is out there. We'll be talking about that the next BMC meeting. There's some interesting results from the monitoring from last fall. We don't have any monitoring results from this winter's rains, of course, yet. But the results from last fall showed a slight increase, I think, in water levels. And the trends were in the right direction, considering that we had a really dry stretch. That was three dry years. And you were comparing last fall with the fall before that. So a dry period to a dry period. And it'll be interesting to see just what comes out of this, the fall monitoring, which will capture this winter's rains. Finance committee meeting, that was canceled. Okay.
We need members.
Right. We do. The community-wide push. If you're out there and you have a head for numbers, we need some people on that committee. It's not a heavy lift, once a month.
You don't have to be an accountant long as you have some.
If you can balance a checkbook and you care about your community,
right?
That's basically what we're looking for. And
as long as you can understand numbers, then
right.
You can,
right?
Because we do it. I mean, we're basically having one or two members at most at our meetings, and it's kind of...
We need more.
We need more people. Just raise your hand. I'll come over to your house.
Okay. Emergency services, no meeting. Basin Management Committee, we did not meet. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, just one real quick thing. We've been working towards getting the transient model. We had an RFP out, we had proposals, we had interviews this afternoon of two really very qualified proposers, and that'll be announced shortly, that the firm that's being hired to do the transient model. So that's exciting.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a long time coming. We've been waiting for that. Okay, director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody been out there doing, you always have something.
Yeah, this is, and I sent an email about this to Ron. The San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce is having a one-day trip tour down to the desal plant in Santa Barbara.
Hmm.
So if you're interested in that, go to the chamber's website. They have a $150 charge for if you're a member, and then a $175 charge if you're, quote unquote, a future member. But having gone to it in Carlsbad that time, it was very, very interesting. So I think that anybody that's interested in desal, you should go to the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce and take a look at that. It's a one-day trip. You get food and all that stuff. So
the Santa Barbara plant is operating. Okay. How long has that been online? Because I know they built years ago, then they shut it down.
I want to say it's been a few years. I mean, three years it's been back online.
Okay, so it'd be an interesting time to check in and just see how the operation has gone and what that's done. Okay, thank you. Response to previously asked questions. We didn't have anything hanging on. Okay, good. Okay, we'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, unless there's anything anyone wants to pull from the consent agenda. Not anything too special there. Okay, so public comment for those items.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand or come up to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, seeing none here in-house.
I'll make a motion to receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I will second that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that carries. Future agenda items, anyone have anything right now? They just seem to keep finding us. we don't need to worry about them.
A budget, and in June and July, there's kind of housekeeping things we have to do with that surround budget, and then we get into other things. So we got a busy summer coming up.
Sure. It's been kind of an interesting couple months where it seems like we've been focused, and yet there's a district that still needs to operate. And interesting couple months. Okay, any closing board comments?
No, I'm going to give staff a pat on the back for just what you said, for getting this thing, keeping the CSD operational and functioning, and taking care of the emergency up in Vista de Oro. So pat on the back.
We're about done. Thank you. Thank you.
Everyone, council and administrative, Laura, the help keeping the district running without missing a beat. Yeah, I just appreciate it all, Margaret. Everything, everybody's been wonderful. We knew that, but they just keep proving it.
Yep.
Okay. I think it's time to adjourn and go watch some basketball. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.